Welcome to episode 112 of Anime and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Sean.
And this is the review show that reviews anime from A to Z. Sort of.
We did not pick last episode. TJ had a pick.
We didn't spin.
Damn it. That up. TJ had a pick and we did not spin. We got Sword Art Online, which is what he picked. And it's fantastic. Literally, don't, if you haven't seen it, don't go any farther in this review. Just go watch it. It's really good. Top three or four anime, maybe number one. It's just that good. It does a couple things kind of eh. But overall, it hits almost every single thing out of the ballpark.
Right. I have a few problems with it, but it doesn't diminish the show at all.
I think my biggest, we'll get into it in a moment, but I think my biggest issue is I'm really into video games, and there's a couple little things here and there that bother me that wouldn't be in a game.
No.
But whatever.
I got a...
Or maybe not wouldn't be in a game, but would be more embellished.
Maybe. I got different problems with story reasons, but yeah, we'll get into it.
So, premise?
No, not premise.
No premise?
Well, no, we're not at the premise. You have to do the wiki first.
Oh, right. There's a huge wiki for it.
Second episode in a row you didn't prepare.
it's a web series that was from 2002 to 2008. A bunch of light novels. I believe there's a lot more to it than that's what's currently been aired. And there's three whole seasons, 25 episodes apiece. There's a side piece season called Gun Gale Online. We'll probably talk about that at some point. Let's get into it. There's too much to read through that, so let me just go to the anime television series. Aired July 2008 to December, or July 8th, 2012, from December 23rd to December 23rd, 2012. 25 episodes. So it was a light novel series. I don't really know the difference between light novel series and manga. I think what it is that manga is released weekly in some sort of magazine or on a web thing, like on your own website, whereas a light novel, I would assume it releases like a small book at a time. But it's the same thing, because I've read some of this.
Right.
It's in manga format. It's, you know, manga drawn out, you know, with the speech bubbles and all that. So, it's manga. I think it's just the way they release it is different.
I don't know. You're the expert, not me.
I'm not going to look it up. So, premise.
Yeah, just go dive into the premise.
It's 2022.
Actually, before we dive into the premise, we should mention, this is actually a prequel to Excel World.
Oh, yeah. So we got Excel World randomly, which is, I think, was our first one. It was A, right?
It was A, but we did numbers and symbols first. And
yeah, but still, when we got to A, it was our first one. We didn't pick it. We didn't, you know what I mean?
It was our third
random
episode.
Which is kind of interesting, in my opinion. And we didn't even know it was a sequel to Sword Art until, like, halfway through watching it. We look it up, we're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And there's little tidbits throughout it where, like, they talk about the first version of their VR gear that they use in Excel World, mm-hmm. and it was like a little image of a Nerve Gear.
Right.
Super cool. Anyway, so yeah, this is the first version of the virtual reality headset that gets used in this world. Anyway, so there's a kid named Kazuto. I know his actual name. And I know his online avatar named Kirito. Kirigaya. Anyway, you know, he's a teenager in Japan, and he's a beta tester.
He's an introvert, mostly, though.
For the most part. He's a beta tester for this VR gear and this video game called Sword Art Online.
Mm-hmm.
And on the day of release, everyone gets trapped in the game that logs on.
Yep.
There's no logout button. If the headset gets taken off of you by someone in your home, it'll fry your brain and you die. If you die in the game, you die in real life.
Right.
That's essentially the premise. The only way to get out is to beat the game.
Now, it's interesting, because obviously, you die in the game, you die in there, has been done before. But
Yeah, it's...
But it hasn't been done to this extent where everybody is, like, Dot Hack we cover.
Where the level of storytelling is so good, the level of art, the level of action, the level of everything is so good.
But not even that, but, like, if you look at Dot Hack, it's only the one character that's trapped in it, not everyone
else.
Yeah,
it's not everyone.
It's not everyone. This was the designer of it pretty much screwed these kids and put them. And it's a fascinating story in the psychological impact on these characters.
I think they could have dwelled into that a little more.
Well,
but it's fine. You know, that's their story choice.
So, this anime, I will say, is fantastic and almost perfect for the first 18 or so episodes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say nearly perfect for the first 12, except for some of the side story stuff was eh.
I mean,
this is something I wanted to mention. The first time I watched it, I loved every single second of it.
Me too.
Beginning to end. Then on a second, and then a third, and this is my fourth watch of it, because it's so good, you're going to watch it again. It's some of the less perfect episodes kind of get a little draggy.
Well, there is that. There's also, like, the harem aspect of it, where every girl falls in love with them. But I actually didn't mind that so much in this one, because one, later on, he actually chooses a love interest.
Yes.
Which is refreshing. They get married.
But that, like, if there's a progression to their relationship, right, which never happens
in anime. It's actually one of the best love stories told in an anime, honestly.
Yeah.
But there's a weird aspect to it that we'll get to later.
Yeah.
But I kind of excused it because he is a character that, he just helps people, and it's a video game, and he's just out there helping people, and he's doing quests with these girls by himself, and he's helping them out, so it makes sense to a certain extent,
he's
too.
He's saving them in certain instances.
It's not like they're just falling into his lap.
They're not, you know, stumbling over themselves. That's not happening. It's just they throw out the progression of their story arc with him, gain feelings.
They're gaining feelings, exactly. And they're not helpless either. They have their own strengths and whatnot in each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just the whole video game aspect and how well they did it throughout the first...
So good.
About how he's trapped in the different little stories and the different progressions and the drama of people dying left and right.
Yes, and how serious it is when they see someone die.
Yeah.
Because they know someone just died. Or when a character kills someone and, you know, the stories in their perspective for that death. It's serious. Like, they didn't want to kill that person.
Right. No, and then they get used to the world at one point, and then people become player killers, and and stuff
some
like
people
that.
Don't want to go out and beat the game. They want to just sit and live their life.
Right. And then they talk about how some people in the beginning went crazy and killed themselves, and just... by the end of this, at the first...
First season is what we watched, which is 25 episodes.
I don't want to say the first season.
But it's really broken up in between two sections. Yes. The first section is 12 episodes.
But that's what I was getting at. No, that's actually a little more than that.
I think 12 is when he gets out.
No, it's like 15 or 16.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was 12. Anyway.
No, because they kind of rushed through the second section of it. Mm-hmm. But it's like 15 or 16. But by the end of the first section, like 2,000 people are dead.
Yeah. There was 10,000 on launch day. And, no, I think it was more than that. I think 6,000 and change got out, logged out.
Yeah, something
like that. And then there was, like, 1,000 or so, we'll talk about it later, get held back.
Right.
We'll talk about that later. So, yeah, I think 2 to 3,000 died, something like that.
Right. But, you know, so, like, I don't even really want to talk too much about the first explaining going through what's happened in it, because it's so good and you should just go watch it.
Yeah.
Like, but I do have a problem. I want to talk about some of the problems in the first thing. My biggest issue, well, I'll say the biggest issue. I'll go to the minor one is about right before the last two episodes, we get a break between Kirito and Asuna. And their relationship is developing because they built it up.
And slowly develops from episode two or three.
Yeah, and they slowly, like, they haven't been together the whole time.
They meet each other here and there. They help each other here and there. They talk here and there.
And the progression of that was fine. But then they come across this AI.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then
it's just a weird story choice.
An AI, and then they adopt her as her daughter. They don't know she's a
Yuri.
Yuri. They don't know she's an AI at first, and then she starts calling them mommy and daddy.
Yeah, it gets really weird.
And it's weird. I don't know why.
She's a program that doesn't have any use anymore.
Yeah.
So normally they get deleted, and that's kind of her story arc, is they're kind of saving her from that.
Yeah, and it's just a strange choice to get them a family thing, but
the mother daughter, the, you know, son daughter thing is just weird. I felt like they could have done that, and they could have just been a friend.
Right. Yeah. There was no reason for them to have a kid at their age.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Because they're like 15, 16. I think they end up like 16,
14, maybe. It's the first year of high school.
Well, by the time they get out.
Well, yeah, by the time they get out.
Because by the way, they're trapped in there for 2 years.
Yeah.
This is not like...
Well, 2 years and change, so like, it skips to 2 years later, and that's before he joins the guild. Then he joins the guild, takes a, you know, X amount of months break, because they marry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two and change, it's probably almost three.
So this is not like a solved issue, this is a long period of time, and which has consequences in the real world. Mm-hmm. So
people's bodies are deteriorating, because they're sitting in bed, and receiving an IV.
And at one point, they're like... We could take our time to get out of it, but, you know, how long
do we have?
Yeah, we might survive in this game, but our bodies can't survive on nothing forever.
Yeah, so they talk about that, which is pretty interesting.
And
the story's great, guys. I don't have to tell you.
It is.
Voice acting's good, art's good, you know, it's all good.
But then we come to the point where So they're going up, and they're losing people every time they clear a boss floor, because it's getting progressively harder. Now they're getting trapped in rooms and without being able to teleport out and stuff like that. But they get to the 75th floor, and then it kind of just ends.
Well, before that, or somewhere around floor 50, Kirito wants to take Asuna, and Asuna wants to leave. Not leave her guild, but she wants to take a break and just go off with Kirito for a little bit.
Right.
They're kind of dating at this point or whatever.
They want to leave the guild that they're in.
I don't think she wanted to leave. I think she did. She did? Well, the head guild, Heathcliff, was saying, no, you can't just take our number two player.
Yeah, he didn't. She wanted to leave, but he wouldn't.
Yeah, like, well, I guess it depends on how the guilds work, you know, in the game.
Right. But, no,
maybe it's a request.
Yeah, but Asa wanted to leave that guild, but he said, okay, you can't take her away, so if you want her, you have to beat me in a duel.
Yes, so they duel. And he said, if you win, you get her. She can leave. If you lose, you have to join the guild.
Exactly.
He lost. But when he lost, there's like a time freeze moment. Because Kirito's whole thing is he's so super fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he dumped all his skill points into agility, essentially.
And strength.
And so he's super quick. And he went to attack Heathcliff. And he moved unnaturally fast, which you see. But Kirito doesn't say until floor 75.
Right. Because he didn't really understand what was happening.
Yeah. But then he just kind of had a moment like, oh, right. Let's find out.
Right.
And they beat floor 75. 14 people die, I think.
Yeah, in that fight.
In that one fight. And they're all sitting and resting, and Kirito's like, oh, let's find out, and he attacks them.
Right. And Heathcliff is like this, he's a defense guy, so he's got a shield and sword, and Kirito has dual blades.
Essentially a paladin, like a big paladin.
Yeah, and
plate mail, plate armor.
Kirito's a dual blader, the only one in the game, too. So,
light armor. Yeah, he's the only one in the game. The only one that gets that skill is the one person with the quickest reaction, apparently.
Yep.
So he attacks him, and he would have landed a hit, but the system blocked it, and it said immortal object.
Because he was the guy that designed the game. Because, of course, if you're going to trap people in it, you want to play the game with them.
I probably would.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd want to be the head of a guild. I'd want to just be another guy, but yeah, I probably would.
Yeah, I mean, he went about it a little weird, but I mean, it makes sense. His motivations for a nerdy guy like him who wanted to create his own world
with serious implications and issues. The only thing I disagree with is, like, if you're going to create that world, and I guess he wanted to see it to its completion, and he said he wanted to be the last boss.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of makes sense. But the whole immortal thing, like, come on.
Well, I think if they would have made it to the 100th floor, he would have turned it off.
Yeah, no, definitely. But, like, it's not really, you're not really playing the game.
Right, yeah.
Between that then and floor 100 if you're immortal.
But, I mean, to be fair, they did say he never dropped down to yellow. But who knows, maybe he did play the game fairly, but not against the other players.
Yeah.
The duels.
But he has his own unique skill like Kirito has.
Right.
With the sword and shield. Now, other players can have a sword and shield, they talk about that, but his is specific somehow. They don't really get into it too much.
He's just got a really good defense with it.
Ultimate defense or something like that.
Right. But so, they realize he's an immortal object, and he paralyzes. He goes into the game's commands and paralyzes everybody.
Ding, 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 ding. That was pretty funny.
And then he's like, all right, Kirito, here's your chance to win the game. I'll give you one chance to do it here before I go to the 100th floor and do it. And then he kills Asuna by accident because Asuna...
They're fighting, and Kirito knows he's not good enough, and he goes to swing, and Asuna jumps in front of him.
Right, and then...
Even though she's paralyzed.
And Asuna dies, and then Kirito gets stabbed, and he's about to die, but he overcomes, and he stabs him at the same time.
He did die.
He did?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you said he was about to, and he overcomes. He did die, and he sort of held his mind together.
Right.
Forced himself to stay alive and stabbed Heathcliff.
And then...
Or Akihiko, something.
Yeah.
That's his actual name.
Yeah, something
Heathcliff
like that.
Heathcliff is his virtual name.
But, and then they
win. They beat it. They killed him.
See, and that's one of the problems I have. I really wanted them to go to the 100th floor.
That would have been cool. Well, that's kind of my issue. Is like, from a game's perspective, I said we would talk about it a bit more. I actually forget some of the points I wanted to make that I was thinking about while watching it. But there's just so much more I wanted to see in depth with the game. But would it have been as good, though, if they had gone into more detail with the game stuff? Because it's so good right now. I feel like... if something's 95% efficient and you try to make it better, but you try to make it 96% efficient, right? The chances of it failing are way higher.
I understand that, but I felt like they needed more episodes in the world. They did.
15 episodes in the one world, you'd think that's a lot. It's not, because you want so much more.
And because they skip large chunks of periods of time. And, like, I think it said I can reference it in later series and go back, because they do that in the second season.
So he's known the person that made his sword for X amount of years.
Yeah, and so but it's just, I don't know, I felt like a little bit of a cop-out and a little rushed. Mm-hmm. And because they could have done so many different more stories. And
you know what's so funny? We're saying it's rushed 25 episodes.
Yeah,
well, is it rushed? I mean, 25 episodes is a drag when it's something that's not good.
Right, I mean, it's really 16 episodes, though.
It's fine, 16. We usually say 12 is the sweet spot, so four extra episodes, but it's just so good.
It is. So here's my major problem with this. Once they defeat the world, nothing else really matters after that, because there's not the same stakes anymore.
Yes, that was my biggest issue with the rest of the shows. Have you seen season 2 and season 3?
I've seen season 2, not season 3.
Season 3 brings the stakes back.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Because
season 3 doesn't have the stakes.
Because, you know, nothing can kill them anymore, because obviously the world's like,
it's
this
just
happened.
It's just a regular video game from that point on.
Yeah, the world will realize, like, you just killed 4,000 people. We're never letting this happen again.
Yeah, after season 1, it's just a regular game until season 3.
And they're, like, trying to make it epic when they're dying and stuff. And it's like, it doesn't matter, because you already showed me a real situation over here. So they have to kind of change up the thing. Like, in the second season, they kind of made Gun Galiline a murder mystery.
Yeah. It's not very good. It's got its moments.
Right.
It's not on the same level as season 1, though. If season 1's a 10, I'm not saying it's a 10 at the moment, but let's say it's a 10. Season 2 is a 7.
Yeah.
It's still good.
It's still good, yeah. It's like there's interesting stuff in the real world and the impact, psychological impact on the characters.
My issue with it was, one, obviously it didn't have the same stakes because the death is off the table for the most part.
Right.
And two, you want story progression for your main characters, and you don't get it in that season. I think they could have made it from a 7 to a 9 if they had progressed the story between Kirito and Asuna, Kirito and Sugaha, and all the other side characters. If they had all come into that game to help him, and their personal relationships progressed throughout the story of the murder mystery. But they didn't do that.
No, I mean, it was just an excuse to get them into a gun game, essentially.
Yeah, after the 15th episode, or 16th episode, whatever, when they... after the end of season 1, when everyone's out of the game, everything's fine, there's no real story progression between the main characters.
No, not really.
Well, they're just dating and together.
To be fair, though, they're all out of the thing. I can't talk right now.
Well, that's why I said at the end of the first season.
Well, they all get out, but...
At the end.
At the end of the section 1, though, not all of them do get out.
Episode 15, when everyone gets out, not everyone's out. You find out in episode 16 that Asuna is still...
not waking up. She's still in her coma.
And they don't know why.
Kirito woke up. And then the reason behind it, it's kind of...
It doesn't quite make sense in our culture. So in other cultures, you marry off your daughters. You marry them off and you do it for money. You do it for cattle. You do it for all kinds of different reasons. Sometimes it's to make your family stronger. Two families come together that are big and strong for whatever reason, like maybe they own a company here and the other one owns a slightly different company, but together through this marriage, their companies come together and they make more money or whatever. In here, it's kind of like that.
That's not what I was talking about. That's fine. He was going to marry off his unconscious daughter, though, to
which is really f***ed up to some jerk off that works for him.
Right, and he's comically evil and a rapist.
Yes. Now, the reason being was he's going to retire at some point. He's the CEO of the company, and he has to hand the reins down to someone.
Maybe.
So he kind of does it through marriage, and now it's his son that gets the company.
Yeah.
It's dumb. It's stupid. It made more sense 40 years ago in Japan. Nowadays, it doesn't quite make as much sense, especially when she's unconscious and doesn't have the choice.
But I wasn't even talking about that. My thing is, he's the bad guy, the fiancé.
Yes.
But he manages to capture her consciousness, switching games.
Yeah, I think it would have made way more sense if he was a character, like his professional life, worked at Sword Art and was like an assistant to
Akihito or something.
Kaiba, or whatever his name is.
Right.
Assistant to the guy that created the game. And then he started working for Asuna's company. Asuna's father's company. That would have made way more sense, because then he would have had access to all those things.
I mean, he kind of gained all that property.
I think her dad's company took over the...
He did work for, like, cybersecurity or something.
Yeah, I might be wrong, but I believe... This might make a little more sense now. I believe her dad's company... was taking care of all the people and keeping the servers up for the game.
Right, right. No, I
that makes sense.
That's but my problem is the science behind it. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Because everyone wakes up, but you could just capture some souls and
yeah. I guess you just keep them logged into the game and move them into a different game. I guess. It's you know
they move them into a game that has a logout button.
Sure, but you could change things so one character doesn't have something. You
sure, I mean, it just didn't make sense.
Or you could make it into a zone where you can't teleport out. Same thing, you can't log out in this zone. And she is trapped in a certain area.
It just doesn't make sense to me how he managed to gain her consciousness and put it in an entirely different game.
I mean, it's a video game.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I kind of get what you're saying, because you close a game, you turn it off, then you turn another game on.
Yeah, right? It's...
But whatever, I guess you uploaded her save file, quote unquote, you know what I mean?
But then it's not the same person, you know what I'm saying? It's
yeah, no, it's I get copy it, I get it, and I get it's it. Like... There's a theory, by the way, that every day when you go to, this kind of, sort of in line, every day when you go to bed and you wake up, you're a different person. Like, your memories are there, and your consciousness is reading those memories, and now you're that person. But every day when you go to sleep, your consciousness is gone. You just have memories to pull from when you wake up, and now you're that person. And supposedly, this is what these people say, to an extreme amount, take for granted that we're the same person, or at least very similar to the same person when we wake up every day.
Okay.
But that's kind of like that. You're uploading a save file, or, you know, you're moving a consciousness from one area to another. Is it the same person?
Yeah, but at the same time, this isn't like... Their consciousness weren't like ones and zeros. They weren't uploaded to the game. They were putting on a VR headset. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And sure, it takes over your body, but once...
I feel like if you could make a full-dive VR headset where you're entirely inside the game, moving the consciousness from one game to another seamlessly probably isn't that far out of reach.
Maybe, but this was like brand new technology.
Yeah,
and
but they also had he had two some years to plan it out and do it if that's what he wanted.
Maybe, I don't know. I just didn't buy it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it felt like a plot point to continue on the thing. And then Kirito in this new game of fairies where he can fly and stuff, where there's no death stakes and stuff. I mean, the psychological impact on everything was interesting, but there was no real threat of anything.
It felt like, all right, we're watching Dragon Ball, not Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, like,
it felt like that.
It's also like when they even mention it a couple times, the main villain's like touching Asuna's avatar. He's like, this isn't even your real body. What do you care? Just let go.
Yeah.
It's like, there is no stakes here. I mean, you're still creepy for doing that, but...
I guess you feel it.
Yeah.
You know, that's enough. Whether it happens to your real body or your mind, it's still happening.
Yeah, but it's like, you die, you start over. Who cares?
Well, sure, die, but rape is a bit different. Well, that's what he was doing. He was doing creepily rapey stuff.
That's what I mean. But they mentioned stuff like that, too. I don't know. It just kind of lost its foot in a little bit.
It definitely did. It wasn't up to snuff. It wasn't quite as good. But it's still good.
No, it was...
It probably brought what could have been a 10 down to a 9.
He just made some weird story choices along the way, and I don't get why.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Like, the weird daughter thing, and then...
Yeah, the daughter thing was odd.
And then, like, we can't ever get
Akihibo...
Something.
Akihiko...
Kaiba. He's an interesting villain. He's reserved, and, like...
He's not the sexual guy that's in the second game.
But every other villain that comes up seems cartoonish.
Yes.
In comparison to him. And this guy just wanted to have his own thing. He was really interesting character, even though he killed 4,000 people, but you kind of understood where he was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Not condoning anything, but like you get why he did it.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree to it. I wouldn't do it myself, but no. I could see why someone with that kind of brain that could create something like this would want to do it.
Right. Whereas the cartoonish guy, after he's defeated in the game... He comes and real life tries to stab Kirito in a parking lot in the hospital.
Even though he knows it's all over.
Right.
The cops are coming for him sooner or later.
Exactly. It's like, this is cartoonish at this point.
Yeah, it's a bit not great. It's better than the average anime, even just that.
Right, right.
Without, you know, Sword Art in the first 15 episodes, it's still better than the average anime. But it's not quite at the same level.
Well, you know...
Gun Gale's probably right there, not quite at the same level.
To be fair, too, though, it's still interesting in the real world as it is in the game.
Yeah, you start to see, like, the impact on
you would think
the families. You see some of the impact on all the kids that came out, how they're in high school and everything, and they have their own special high school. Right. Even though, technically, they'd be old enough to have graduated by now, they can't. And they can't go back to a regular high school because they obviously have special needs for this,
right.
For graduating high school.
So, I mean, you would think a show like this would, like, it's not as interesting outside of the game, but no,
it's still interesting.
It's still interesting, yeah. And they still do it.
In fact, I'd argue that outside of the game is more interesting post Sword Art than inside the game is.
Yeah,
at least
too.
Until the third season.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, because when they're in that fairy world, it's
or
like,
in the Gun Gale, it's like, none of it matters.
And in the second half of the second season, they're going after a sword.
Yeah. Who cares? None of it really matters.
No.
The third season's where it's at. It brings back some of the magic in the first season.
Okay, because I didn't get that far yet. But
no, 100% watch it.
I'm actually working
my way. The funny thing is, the second season's almost skippable.
Right.
Which is sad, but the story doesn't really matter to our main character.
Right, exactly. I mean, I'm still working my way through the second season. So, all
right, guys. I guess we rate it. You know, I mean, there's a bunch of other things we get into, but overall, just go watch it.
Yeah,
we could go on for 3 hours about it.
I mean, this is double the length of the last one already.
Yeah. For me, like I said, it would probably be a 10, except for some of the small minor things that really bother me. It's a 9.
9 for you?
Also, because it's so rewatchable, even with, like I said, like some of some of the more filler-ish episodes, it's not really a filler episode, because everything is important at some point or another, but even those ones are still really good on rewatches, they're just a little bit of a lag.
I mean, I wouldn't go 9, I think I'm going 8.
8? Yeah,
because,
9 for me.
Because, you know, it's good, and it's not, but, you know, One Piece we gave an 8, too.
Yeah.
So,
If I had to pick between the two, I'd rewatch this.
Well, it's also shorter episodes.
Yeah. If I was just rewatching the story of One Piece, not the extra crap you don't need, I'd probably still pick this.
I mean, me too, but I don't know. It's just, I don't think it's 9. It's got too many weird problems to me.
It does have some weird issues. So I'm going to go ahead and say my ratings for the other seasons without getting into the other seasons too much, just so I will.
Because we'll have to review it one day.
Then you'll see how it changes after I watch it.
That's right. Okay, you don't have any consistency.
9 for this, 7 for the second season, and I would say 8 or 9 for the third season. It's that good.
Okay. I trust you.
All right, so what else is under S?
Oh, God. This is a tough one, because we have Slayers.
Not good.
Steins Gate.
Oh.
And Sorcerer Stabber Orphan.
Well, Sorcerer Stabber Orphan was good, but it wasn't what it was for me, what it was for you. And I know Steins Gate wasn't for you, what it
exactly.
was for me.
Exactly. That's why I said this is a hard one.
Steins Gate and Sword Art are really neck and neck for me. I'll put my order on what I would want to watch again right now. Probably Steins Gate, only because I just saw Sword Art.
Yeah.
You know? I don't want to rewatch it tomorrow because I just watched it. But I feel like either or could go. Then Sorcerer Stabber Orphan, then Slayers.
Well, mine's probably going to be Sorcerer Stabber. What the f*** is it called? I forget it already.
Steins and...
Sword Art, yeah. SAO. So I'll probably go Sorcerer's SAO, Steins Gate.
Steins Gate ain't last.
Well, I didn't think Slayers was better than some of the other...
It's not the worst thing in the world.
No, but it's still above average anime, too.
Yeah, but the problem is you got 7, 8s, and 9s, and 10s here.
Right, that's my thing, though. S has many S's in there. We've gotten
the good ones.
We've gotten the good ones, which is making
And Steins Gate was random. I was so excited.
Steins Gate was the first S we got.
Oh, I was so excited. All right, guys, we are spinning for category T.
Which was not as... Hold on.
What?
Is The Legend of Moby Dick in there? Is that one?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. Maybe it wasn't T then.
Yeah, I think it was under something else. And the categories have the in there, obviously, and it starts with the, but it's not listed.
All right.
As the first word.
All right.
Order. Spinning.
We're spinning.
There's a lot in here.
There's a lot of T's. There's a lot of the's.
I almost can't read it. The time I got reincarnated as a slime. I've seen quite a few episodes of this.
I heard of it. I never watched it.
I don't know how great it is because I never finished it, but it's fun. It's a half decent watch at the very least.
Okay.
Let's click. I guess we can go over the description.
Yeah, I mean, might as well. We do it every other time.
Yeah, we do it every other time.
T-H-A. How many episodes?
I think 25.
Oh, God.
24.
Yeah.
That's a lot. 37-year-old Satori Mikami is a typical corporate worker who is perfectly content with his monotonous lifestyle in Tokyo, other than failing to nail down a girlfriend even once throughout his life. In the midst of a casual encounter with his colleagues, he falls victim to a random assailant on the streets and is stabbed. However, while succumbing to his injuries, a peculiar voice echoes in his mind and recites a bunch of commands which the dying man cannot make sense of. When Sataru regains consciousness, he discovers that he has reincarnated as a goop of slime in an unfamiliar realm. In doing so, he acquires newfound skills, notably the power to devour anything and mimic its appearance and abilities. He then stumbles upon the sealed catastrophe-level monster Storm Dragon, Veldora. We're actually getting into the story, which is going to be in the first couple episodes, so we're going to skip that. Sekai, which is...
I was about to ask.
We've done it a couple times. It's when you die and go to another world, or you get transported into another world, essentially. Shonen, fantasy, and comedy. I didn't know there was two seasons already.
Yeah, apparently.
And some OVAs. 24.5 episode. That's weird. I guess we'll figure out what that is.
That's an OVA.
But that's it, guys. We're...
That's the typical hot spring episode.
Oh, God. As a slime. All right, guys. Next episode. That time I got reincarnated as a slime.
Yeah, bye. So, I forgot to mention something in this. I fell out of anime for a long time, for like years. Like, a good 5 years I didn't watch anime. Sword Art Online is what brought me back into anime.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's the reason why we're doing this podcast right now.
I've gone in and out of spurts. Like, I've like gone 6 months a year without watching anything. And then something will catch my eye. And I was in a dry spell. And then you brought up to me, hey, you want to do an anime together? And I'm like, yes. You want to do a podcast together? I'm like, yeah. What do you want to do it about? And watch anime and review it. 100%. I was so in. And we've been doing this since like 2019, something like that.
Over 100 episodes now. But yeah, this Sword Art Online is like, I was always, if anyone's watched this from the beginning, there was the Dot Hack is one of my anime. And that video game aspect brought me back into anime. And it was like, so I was into it at the time. And I was like, podcasts didn't got really big at the time. And I was like, I'm interested in doing one. But the ideas I had and the people I was throwing them out with just weren't into it. Mm-hmm. And so it just clicked with you and me. So
there you go.
But yeah, it was important. That's why I came back and brought this up. So
good to know.
Bye.
See you guys.